There are people that are offended at Christmas time because we talk about Jesus. But I just want to remind you that Jesus is the reason for the season. And so let's just make sure that we ourselves, I can't do too much about what other people do, but I can do something about what I do. And so let's make sure that we do that which is right, and let us work to keep Jesus in Christmas. And John chapter number 1, the writer says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now you can read on and find out a little bit more. We'll come back to John chapter 1 in just a moment. And we'll find out that there was a man that was sent from God whose name was John. Now, he was not the light of the world, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. And that's exactly what we are to do. Here in a very dark and dismal time, we are to take and share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the gospel. The Bible says that the Word was made flesh, that which was in the beginning with God. That Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And I thank God for His grace, but also thank God for His truth, and that which He gives unto us through the Word of God. Now, there's just a couple of simple thoughts that I have for you this morning. One is that Jesus Christ came, and He came to reveal God to us. You know, there's a lot of questions that goes about God and how can you know that there's a God? You've never seen God, and all of these things. There's all kind of answers that are out there as well. But when Jesus talked about the Father, even His disciples who had been with Him, they had seen His miracles, they'd heard His teachings, they had been with Him day in and day out. But yet Philip said, "Show us the Father and it sufficeth us." Okay, we want to see the Father. Would you just let us see the Father? And Jesus said, "Have I been so long time with you and have ye not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" That Word which became flesh and dwelt among us. The Bible says that the Word created all things, and without Him there was not anything made that was made back there in John chapter 1. And I'm glad that He, the Father, has dwelt among us in His Son. That's kind of complex. I remember, I remember a few years ago, actually it's been quite a few years ago, we went snow skiing and we left after church service one Sunday and a group of us went snow skiing, teenagers, and I tried to get our youth pastors and things, I tried to get them to do stuff for our teenagers, but they don't want to do it. Stick in the muds. And so I said, we ought to take our teens snow skiing. A lot of our teens have never seen snow. And so we put together a trip to go snow skiing. And man, I tell you, I got up and I preached that Sunday night and I let them have it. Now we're going to get on the bus afterwards and we're going to drive to North Carolina and go snow skiing. And so as we were driving, I thought it would be a good time for me to be able to kind of intermingle with the teenagers and find out some things about them and all. And so I decided that I would just ask a question. What did I preach on tonight? Now I go home on Sunday afternoons and we gather around the table, my family and I say, "Well, what did you all think about the message? What was your scripture text? What was it? I don't really remember exactly what it is you said. What are you talking about?" I'm just teasing. But I thought I'd throw this on these teenagers. I was impressed, because they began to share with me what I had preached on. And I said, "Maybe there's a question that you have about what I said tonight, and I could be able to explain it a little bit further." And it was Crystal. And Crystal said, I learned something tonight. And I said, well, what did you learn? And she said, I learned the definition of the word incarnate. A lot of times, preachers, we use big words and to show how intelligent we are, and then we try to pronounce them and we show how ignorant that we really are. But the word incarnate, it's a big word, but it means very simply that God in flesh. That in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh, incarnate. Can I just tell you something? Jesus Christ was not created. He was incarnated. God in flesh. Jesus said, no man has seen God at any time in John, verse number 18. He says, but the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father and hath declared Him. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says, God at sundry times. That means in many different times. In divers manners, many different ways. He spake to us in time past by the fathers, and He said through the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken unto us through His Son. God revealing Himself. He revealed Himself, yes, as a babe in Bethlehem, without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Is that not what Isaiah said? Isaiah said, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call His name Emmanuel. Jesus, that earthly child of a heavenly Father, and He's the heavenly child of an earthly mother. In Isaiah chapter 9, the Bible says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and His name should be called Wonderful and Counselor and the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Paul said to the church at Colossae, for unto you is born in the city, in Luke, he says, for unto you is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And so we gather together at this time of the year and we sing, hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. He has come. But He's come that He might be able to reveal God to us. I'm thankful for all that the Lord has done. The Bible says that God has not left Himself without witness over in Acts chapter 17. The Bible says that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Do you know, as you read the creation story, you find out that God said that He created the sun and the moon and the star, and He says that He gave them for seasons. In Psalms chapter 19, the Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day they utter speech. Night unto night they speaketh knowledge. What is it that God's creation is doing? It's telling us that there's a God. And so we wonder sometimes, how is it that these people are going to know about a God? My friend, people all over the world know that there is a God. Why is it that they know that there is a God? It's because of what God has created. The creation itself is witnessing there is a God. There is a God. But Christ, when Christ came, He revealed something to us about this God. And what He revealed to us was that this God is love. That He loved us. And Christ came into this world to die for us. So Christ came to not only to reveal God, but to rescue mankind. I'm thankful that He has done that. Jesus said He came to seek and to save that which was lost. In John chapter 1 right there, look at verse number 17. The Bible says that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2, verse number 11, the Bible says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Matthew chapter 9, "But go ye and learn what it meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I am not come to call the righteous, but Jesus said, I've come to call sinners to repentance." He's come to rescue us. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." I'm glad that Jesus came from heaven, but He came from heaven to take us to heaven. I said this morning in the adult Bible study here in the auditorium that if I was not influencing people for the glory of God, I'd just rather for God to just take me on home. I want to affect people for Jesus Christ some way, somehow. And I believe with all of my heart when I depart from this life that I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be there. Why? Because of what He has done. He has done. He has made heaven possible. We've been studying Galatians on Sunday night, Galatians chapter 4. And verse number 4, the Bible says, "And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman under law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." That redemption that taken place, it is a purchase back. God has bought us back by His own blood, He said. He has redeemed us unto Himself. He's reconciled us. Paul says, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled." That reconciliation, reconcile, means to be made at peace. I've been purchased back by God. I'm not my own. I belong to Him. But my friend, there is reconciliation in my heart. And as a result of that, I have the peace of God and the peace with God. Jesus was born in Bethlehem so that He might be able to be our sacrificial lamb. Payment, price, purchase, freedom. He put on humanity that we might put on divinity. He became the Son of Man that we might become the sons of God. Christ Jesus hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, "Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." As I talked with Brother Garnet yesterday, he told me that it was 5 below in Maine. I just love calling him and asking him what the temperature is up there. You know, a lot of times we ask questions, it's not because we want an answer, it's because we want to say something. And when I call him and I say, "What's the temperature like up there?" I don't really care. I got something I want to say. You know what I want to say? It's 80 degrees and sunshine and blue skies down here. I always want to rub that in. I said, "You got any snow on the ground up there?" And he said, "We got about 8 inches, expecting about a foot tonight." I said, "Oh, well, I think it's going to cool off here to 70 tomorrow. It'll probably be a little windy tomorrow morning, you know, breeze might get up to 10 miles an hour." When you think about snow, isn't it an amazing thing that every snowflake is different? Isn't that something? That's just an amazing thing to me. The Bible has some things to say about snow. And I'm glad that I can think about that. The psalmist says, "Purge me." I'm glad I've been purchased. I'm glad I've been redeemed. I'm glad I've been reconciled. But the psalmist says, "Purge me with thy hyssop." Now, hyssop was a plant. And if you remember when Moses, on the first Passover, when they slew the lamb, that they were to take the blood and with hyssops, They were to put the blood on the doorpost. And so it's a little brush. It's a little piece of vegetation. And the psalmist says, "Purge me with thy hyssop." I believe he's talking about the sprinkling of the blood with that. He says, "And I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Be whiter than snow. You know, salvation is not based upon good behavior. I like good behavior, but salvation is not based on good behavior. Salvation is not a reward for something good that you've done. And you need to understand that. See, man was in need of rescuing. All men are in need of rescuing. Because the Bible says that all have sinned and come short the glory of God. Jesus came that He might be able to give eternal life to sinning people. When we recognize that we are sinners, look back there at John chapter 1. Look at verse number 12. He says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Now I want you to note verse number 13. Because verse number 13 says that these were born not of blood. Salvation, it has nothing to do with human descent. I've told you before, I've been in parts of the world and they say that's a white man's religion. It's not the white man's religion. It has nothing to do with descent. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So this salvation that is made available unto us, if we believe upon His name, which were born not of blood, He says, nor of the will of the flesh. It's not a desire. How is it that we need to go out and knock on doors and tell people about Jesus Christ? Because the natural man receives not the things of God. It's not a natural thing for man to seek after God. We tell the unsaved about the love of God. How that Jesus has come and to give Himself a ransom. How that Jesus Christ has redeemed us. How that He has purged us from our old sins. We tell about the love of God that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that there is truly salvation in Him that causes men to hunger. Not born of the blood nor the will of flesh. The Bible says, nor of the will of man. Salvation is not a human designed plan. It's not religion. Salvation is an entity in itself, strictly designed by God. And Peter says, before the foundation of the world, before God ever laid the first cornerstone in creation, God designed a plan how that man might be able to be redeemed unto a holy and righteous God. And that was through His Son, Jesus Christ. So this Christmas season, we may think about Santa Claus. We may think about the presents that are under the tree, but we ought to surely think about our Savior because of what He has done for us. Now, there are those who say that Christmas is not about Christ, that it's actually a satanic thing. Because, first of all, Christ was not born in December. I don't know when Christ was born. I understand what was taking place and all of those things. And I don't think that Jesus probably was born on December the 25th. I had a dear senior adult lady. She was born in Georgia. She was born to a sharecropper family. And she was born out on the farm in a little wooden cabin. Her name was Charlotte. And every week in our senior adult program, I recognize birthdays. Who's celebrating a birthday this week? And in February, the second week of February, Charlotte stood up. And I said, Charlotte, you got a birthday this week? And she said, yes, sir, I do. And I said, well, Charlotte, I said, when is your birthday? She said, February the 14th. Your birthday's on Valentine's Day. That is such a wonderful thing. She said, well, I don't know if it is or not, but that's what I chose to celebrate it. Well, I wondered. So I asked her after the program. And she said, Lord, Steve, she said, I don't know when I was born. Well, apparently she wasn't. Think about that. And I said, well, what do you mean, Charlotte? She said, I was born out on the farm. She said, I don't even know what year I was born. I don't know when my birthday was. And they said, you got to have a birth date. And so choose a day. And she said, Valentine's Day, be my birthday. Now, can I just tell you, Jesus may not have been born on December the 25th. But I'm going to celebrate His birthday on December the 25th. You know, I might celebrate it on the 26th. I might celebrate it on the 27th. And the 28th. And the 29th. I may even run that thing on over to January the 6th. From the cradle to the cross, Satan is found in trying to disrupt and destroy everything that God has designed for you and for me for salvation. Think of the stories. He may try to hide behind Herod. He may try to hide behind Pilate. But he's there, trying to disrupt and destroy Christmas. Paul said we're not to be ignorant of his devices. So you know what I've decided? I'm not going to get bent out of shape if somebody says something about December the 25th not being Christ's birthday. That's okay. I'm going to celebrate it anyway. Say, well, you know, you ought not have a Christmas tree in your house. God's against it, and the Bible says He's against it. Well, the Bible's not, the Bible doesn't say He's against Christmas trees. Oh, yes, He does. You need to read the Bible, preacher. You need to get over to the proper, you need to read about what Jeremiah said. Do you know what God's against? Worshipping that Christmas tree. That's what He's against. You go read it. I'm not worshiping that Christmas tree. I know I pay $100 for a real Christmas tree every year and use it for 2 weeks, take it out and throw it on the side of the road. I might not be smart, but I'm not worshiping it. Santa Claus and reindeer. Those things don't bother me whatsoever. I know the real meaning of Christmas. Bow with me for a word of prayer.